الحمد لله الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى، والحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المسلمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فها نحن هنا نكمل ما سييسر لنا بإذن الله من تفسير التيسير الكريم الرحمن لتفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. وغاية ما نفعله هو القراءة بالعربية ثم الترجمة قدر الاستطاع، مع الاعتراف بالتفريط والتقصير والأخطاء في النحو وغيره، ولكن الله المستعان. وصلنا بفضل الله عز وجل إلى الآية رقم 57. Thank you for volunteering prior to request. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه. إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا. وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا. وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا. Kindly now, Mr. read verses 57, 58 and 59 in the English language.
And who does no wrong than he who is reminded of the ayats, signs of his law, but turns away from them, forgetting what is done and sent for. Truly, we have sent over the hearts Akina, lest they should understand this Quran. And in their fierce sickness, and if you call them to guidance, even then they will never be guided. Number 58. And your Lord is most forgiving, of their mercy, where he told, and he took all them to account for what they had heard. Then surely he would help ascend their punishment, but they have their appointed time, beyond which they will find no escape. And in this town, we destroy them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
Barakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يخبر تعالى أنه لا أعظم ظلما، لا أعظم ظلما ولا أكبر جرما من عبد ذكر بآيات الله وبين له الحق من الباطل والهدى من الضلال وخوف ورغب ورغب فأعرض عنها فلم يتذكر ما ذكر به. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, Allah informs us that there is no one who is more oppressive and more of a criminal, tayyib, and more of a criminal than a slave who has been reminded about the verses and the signs of his Lord, about the signs of Allah, and the truth has been clarified to him to be distinguished from the falsehood. And guidance has been distinguished from misguidance. And he's been threatened, and he's been caused to be fearful, and he's been encouraged. Yet with all these things, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, he turns away from all that. فَلَمْ يَتَذَكَّرْ بِمَا ذُكِّرَ بِهِ, and he does not remember from that which he's being reminded about. ولم يرجع عما كان عليه ونسي ما قدمت يداه من الذنوب. And he does not return and turn away from that which he is upon, from misguidance and falsehood. And he forgets what his hands has put forth from evil deeds. ولم يراقب علام الغيوب. And he was not mindful of the knower of the unseen. He was not mindful of the knower of the unseen. Who's the knower of the unseen?
Allah.
Huh? Allah, I'm asking you a sabab. Is it too early in the morning to ask questions? Who is the knower of the unseen?
Allah.
Aywa. فهذا أعظم ظلم من المعرض الذي لم تأتيه آيات الله ولم يذكر بها وإن كان ظالما فإنه أخف ظلما أو أخف ظلما من هذا لكون العاصي على بصيرة وعلم أعظم ممن ليس كذلك. Now there's a benefit in this particular statement of the Sheikh. The Sheikh said, there's no one more oppressive than the one who's been reminded, the one who turns away from the signs of Allah. And he is more oppressive. He is more oppressive than the one who's also turning away, but without being reminded. Because you could be one of two people. Either, I'll give you an example. You may have some family members, still Christians. طيب? These people, they have turned away from the religion of Allah. They have rejected, they have rejected the religion of Allah. Yet,
yes,
they may be no one giving them da'wah. Maybe there's no one giving them da'wah. There's no one giving them da'wah. So although they are currently turning away from the religion of Allah and they are oppressive to themselves, yet they are not as bad and not as evil as the family member who was upon Christianity and you've been given them da'wah. Both are busted, but one is worse than the other. One, you keep telling him, and you give him da'wah day after day, and you give him the signs and the verses from the Quran, and you prove to him the contradictions in the Bible, and you do the whole nine yards. You do the whole da'wah effort. And they're turning away, and there's other family members who are also turning away, but nobody has given them straight up da'wah. Both are in the state of misguidance or depression, but the one who's been reminded and turns away is worse and more severe than the other one. Because the Shaykh said, because the one who's disobedient upon knowledge and upon insight is greater than the person who is disobedient without knowledge. Because some people may smoke cigarettes, but they don't know it's haram. And some people smoke cigarettes while they know it's haram. Although both of them are doing something, the first one may be excused until he has been taught. Until he has been taught. Maybe he didn't know. Versus the one who knows, they're not the same. They're not the same. طيب. ولكن الله تعالى عاقبه بسبب إعراضه عن آياته ونسيانه لذنوبه ورضاه لنفسه حالة الشر مع علمه بها أن سد عليه أبواب الهداية بأن جعل على قلبه أكنة أي أغطية محكمة تمنعه أن يفقه الآيات وإن سمعها فليس في إمكانه الفقه الذي يصل إلى القلب. The Sheikh said, because of that, now here, what was the verse here, what are the nature, what is the scenario here, the state of this discussion here is the person who's been reminded about the signs of Allah, yet he turns away from them and he forgets what he has put forth from sins. So the Shaykh said, because of that, Allah Azza wa Jal punishes this person because of their initial rejection. Very important. This is a very important rule in your da'wah. Each one here who will ever give da'wah, you have to understand this principle very well. And this is among the misconceptions that the non-Muslims have about Islam. And this is some of the misconceptions that the Muslims have about Islam. And it is my job and your job to clarify to the people the reality of the situation and that there is no misconception except in the minds of the people with the misconception. This principle, pay attention to me, ma'alish. A sign will come to the person. An opportunity for guidance will come to a person. And as soon as it is presented to them, Allah knows that in their heart, they know it is the truth. You give da'wah to some kafir. Allah knows that inside, He knows. When you start speaking, when you quote the evidences, inside, He knows that this is the truth. But
with the knowledge, he doesn't follow. When the person does this, he gets the immediate punishment, different than the one in the hereafter, is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal will turn their hearts around and their understanding around. Where because of their initial rejection, because Allah gave them the chance and there's no goodness in these people, maybe later they will change, but initially, because they were rejected, because they rejected the truth from Allah, Allah will punish them by them becoming ignorant, where they will see the falsehood as truth and they will propagate it and they will cry for it and they will sacrifice for it, and they will see the truth as falsehood and they will hate it and they will warn against it and they will try to destroy it. That's why I see so many different non-Muslim propagators around the world, where no matter what kind of message they receive, they remain upon their disbelief and they warn against Islam and they speak about Islam. It's not that these people didn't get the message. It's not that Islam isn't clear. It's that these people have sicknesses in their heart. Had they been willing to submit to Allah when the message was first delivered, then Allah Azza wa Jalla would have guided them as Allah has guided you and me. Allah would have guided them as Allah has guided us. Right or wrong? We were given the opportunity. Maybe we rejected it in the beginning. But at one point you had to submit to the truth. Some people, you have one, after they know the truth, they do not follow it. So if someone says, how come and this and that, why would Allah do that? Say, this is because they rejected Allah. So their punishment is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, they chose a path of misguidance. As Allah says, if they're given in another verse in the Quran, and if they see the path of guidance, they do not follow it. And if they see the path of misguidance, they follow it. They are upon a path, and you bring to them the path of guidance of the prophets and the messengers, of submitting to Allah, of believing in the oneness of Allah, of everything that Islam has taught, versus all the junk that they have, yet they reject you, and they still want to stay there, no problem. The situation is almost like you want that. As Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. Whomever wants the quick life, we will give him as much as we want to whomever we want. But then Allah will prepare the hellfire for them. They want the dunya? Go ahead. Take it. But because you chose the dunya, don't expect no guidance no more. Unless you decide to change your intentions. Unless that person decides that no, he is upon falsehood, he recognizes it, and then he wants to turn to Allah, Allah will guide the person who turns to him. But initially, they will be given the immediate punishment, the early punishment of the dunya by Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they deviated from the truth, Allah caused their hearts to deviate from understanding the truth. You understand? It's an equal, even recompense. Recompense. You do something, you get something. Wa alaykum salam. Yes.
How about this one brother? He's a new Muslim here. Actually, he's my co-worker. Somehow he got cold when I stopped performing salah. What will happen to him? I tried to convince him to go with me to the salah, to come here to the center, but
he doesn't want to.
It's not working for him. He just told me that he got cold.
Call about Islam. It's one of two things. Either this person, when he entered into Islam, he wasn't fully convinced. And this is why I advise you. And I've seen this happen sometimes by some of the brothers. When you give da'wah, don't rush no one. Sometimes you bring the brother and you give him the din, all your tayyib, khalas, you ready to become a Muslim? It's not a business, man. You're not trying to close the sale. You're not trying to sell a car and you khalas. You want to buy the car after you tell him all the features, you want him to buy the car. Let the person think. Before they enter into Islam, they have to be fully convinced. So I advise you, the correct methodology, wallahu a'lam, when you give da'wah, and they came to the center because the sisters, news came to me that the sisters do this in the sister section. They bring a bunch of non-Muslims, they sit there, give a presentation, say, who's ready to give the shahada? Yeah, Shaykha. So sometimes the people are, you know, they feel shy, and all this pressure on them and everything, say, okay, whatever, I just say, whatever, let these people get off my face, but I need to go home. Ashadu, ashadu, la ilaha. Then she goes home and says, oh Jesus. No. Before they ever enter into Islam, no more Jesus, ma'asalama, Jesus the Son of God, ma'asalama, Jesus God, ma'asalama, Jesus salvation, ma'asalama, all other gods, ma'asalama, a million things. When you leave all these things, then you enter into Islam convinced wholeheartedly, then you will remain. But when you come wishy-washy, tomorrow you will leave. So, never rush anyone into da'wah. After you deliver the message of Islam, tell the person, look, my job is to deliver to you what Allah wants you to hear. I do not want you to rush you, this is your own personal decision. But I advise you with one thing. Go home tonight and supplicate to God. Tell him, if what this man was telling me was the truth, guide me to it. Meaning speaking of you, the person giving da'wah. And if what this person was telling me is falsehood, turn me away from it. All I ask, don't tell him, oh God, make me Muslim, because you're not convinced. Just ask God to guide you to the truth. And whatever you will wind up, we will find out soon. But if you are sincere and neutral inside, that you ask Allah truly, say, God, you hear me, you see me. Okay, and I tell him, think of the Father. Think, and you don't think of Jesus, so they will not be supplicated. Think of what you consider the Father. Say, you hear me, you see me. Here is a man telling me a bunch of stuff about Jesus not being your son, and that Jesus is not our salvation, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and the Quran and all this. I don't understand this guy. If what he's saying is the truth, guide me to it. If it is falsehood, turn me away from it. That's what you tell a person. Say, go home and be sincere.
So what will happen with this brother?
This brother, Habibi, if he entered into Islam, then he left alone the Salah. According to one opinion of the scholars, he is a murtad. The person who abandons the Salah is no longer a Muslim. Thus he is a murtad, which is an apostate. And a person who is an apostate...
Who's distracted?
He... Drink? Oh.
A'udhu billah. Habibi, I have one question. Just want to clarify.
Tafsir, man.
No, that's difficult. I just want to clarify because there is one of our co-worker. Before he starts praying, when he gets married, he starts praying.
Alhamdulillah.
Now he is in prayer. One of our brother also said, he's doing like this. Before he starts praying, before now only now when he gets married, he prays now he cannot take the prayer.
That,
is it right?
That person who said that is an ignorant individual who needs to keep his mouth closed and just pray in the back line.
The
one who's speaking against the brother who's leading the people in the salah. Who are you to tell Allah who to forgive, who to accept the repentance, and who to become an imam? Where was he before? And who knows if Allah will guide this person and misguide him? This is ignorance, akhi. Tell the person.
This guy is speaking Arabic as a prince. He said he's from Mamluk, you know.
Regardless. If a person was not praying, the person was drinking alcohol, the person was doing fornication, the person was doing whatever.
Yes.
Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. And Allah is the one who accepts the repentance of His servants. If you repent in Islam, it erases whatever comes before it. Meaning when he started doing the salah, whatever had happened in his past is gone. So he is like a regular Muslim, probably better. Perhaps better, because when you were not praying, you're no longer a Muslim. And you entered into Islam again. If you enter into Islam again, then you're on a good note. So you cannot say that. If a person leaves alone the Salah and he prays again, then he shouldn't be the person leading people in Salah. Rather, this person should be encouraged. Alhamdulillah that his wife, may Allah be pleased with her and bless her, that maybe she was the reason for him to start doing the Salah. So we tell him, no, because you didn't pray before, don't lead the people in Salah, you may turn him again into the old state. If he is qualified, yaqi, if he recites the Fatiha properly, and he has some Quran memorized more than the people behind him, he should lead the people in the Salah. In Islam, there's no such, you know, backward mentality. Where you used to be, if every one of us is going to evaluate where we used to be, then I shouldn't be speaking to you here. I should not be here telling you nothing. And one of you here shouldn't be here listening, because we were something else before. But that's not how it works in Islam. Once you repent to Allah and you are upon the path, don't worry about the past.
But the Prophet, another Prophet, which the one who is telling this right here, he received a gift from his wife. Now he told him, what is this gift? For what? He said, for my birthday. I told him, what?
It's like,
you're a Muslim, you're celebrating birthday.
Tayyip. Abdul Aziz. No. You have to make a distinction between the people who were entered into Islam, such as you brothers, and the people who were born into Islam with a lot of culture involved. Very often these people do not know any better. And all their country, the whole people, every Muslim they know celebrates their birthday. So here we come, us little, you know, new Muslims to them, telling them that this is an innovation. They're going to tell you, what are you talking about? You don't know nothing about Islam, blah, blah, blah. These people, I'm not saying it's correct, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't lead the people in the salah if he has some errors. Unless there's someone behind him who's more qualified. This kind of innovation is more personal. If he's innovating in the actual salah, he's not according to the sunnah and the salah, then you tell him sit aside, because you want to break according to the sunnah. Otherwise, celebrating a birthday is an evil act. Likewise, many of the people behind them may have other evil acts, worse than that one, but you don't know about them. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that because he's celebrating a birthday, everybody behind him is better. Maybe everybody behind him has some much more major sins than his minor sin. Very sensitive subject matter. That's why in Islam, there's these limitations. So we will not transgress against the rights of other Muslims and oppressively accuse them of things or speak against them evilly and all this. These are among the worst things that we can do. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ forbade, al-qeel wal-qaal. Too much he said, she said, and too much gossip walking around with the people and spreading this information. This thing should be avoided. And people should focus on that which is more beneficial for them. So, anyways, we'll have... Yes, sir.
Can I still call him a brother?
As long as he's not doing a salah, no, you cannot. But you can be extra kind to him and tell him, look, what is the problem? What are some things that you don't understand? He must be misunderstanding something, because you cannot truly believe and feel free not to pray, you know, unless there's some major problem. So try to find out what he needs, what kind of medication he needs, and try to give him the medicine through someone else, through yourself, through a book, through a tape, through something. But keep giving him da'wah. Tayyib? Because at least at one point he may have accepted the truth. But Allah a'lam about his condition. Tayyib. Al-Muhim. And that person was pleased with the evil that he was upon while knowing so. So Allah Azza wa Jal closed for him the doors of guidance. The door of guidance closed. And Allah did so by making upon their hearts layers, coverings. Upon their heart, there are coverings, meaning tight coverings that prevents him from understanding the verses. Even if they hear it, they will hear it. But it's the kind of hearing, but he is unable to grasp and understand the meaning that will make it reach to the heart. So the information will go from the ear and it's supposed to go to the heart. Now in Islam, the mind is in the heart. Your mind is in your heart. The actual brain may be still in your ear, but the place of thought and the place of iman is where? The heart, not the brain, not the mind. So the person has the information, they hear it, but it does not go to the heart. Why? Because there are layers. Layers covering it because of their initial rejection. So they hear it. You tell them, La ilaha illallah. You tell them, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. You tell them, you know, there's no trinity. You tell them. But it finds a block. Why? Because at one point, things made sense to them. Things were clear to them, but they rejected. Either because of arrogance, or because of pride, or because of some cultural issue, or because of some extreme ignorance, or just straight up oppression, or just favoring the world, knowing that if he becomes a Muslim, he has to pray, he has to fast, and he can no longer, you know, listen to this, and he can no longer watch this, and he can no longer drink this, and he can no longer, oh, it's a big, big problem. My life is cool and easy. I don't want to go into something that will change my life. Even if it's the truth, yes, they don't tell you that, but this is how they think. Even if there's paradise and hell, and you're going to go to one of the two based on this decision, even so. Why? Because this is current. This is easy, it's the dunya, it's the world, it's within reach. And the son of Adam is always hasty, always wants things quick, quick. SubhanAllah, so we want the quick things. So that's what they get, jaza'an wa faqa. وَفِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَقْرَى أي صَمَمًا يَمْنَعُهُمْ مِنْ وُصُولِ الْآيَاتِ ومن سماعه على وجه الانتفاع وإذا كانوا بهذه الحالة فليس لهدايتهم سبيل. And in their ears there's also deafness that prevents them from the verses to make it there. In terms of listening to it or hearing it in a way where they benefit from it, they will hear it as we mentioned earlier, but not in a way, in such a fashion where they actually benefit. So if the people are in this condition, there's absolutely no way for their guidance. There's no way for the guidance. Now, ya akhwan, keep in mind that all of these things we are mentioning, they do not go an inch beyond the attribute of justice that Allah Azza wa Jal has. Keep this firm in your mind. This is why we need to recognize Allah through His names and attributes. Because we understand His actions through His names and attributes. Allah will not oppress anyone that even a grain, not even a hair, not even an ant size. Nothing. No way. No way that someone will be misguided by Allah because and there was goodness in them. No way that Allah will misguide one of His creation while they wanted guidance. No way, except that these people deserve it. So when we say these things, this is with the justice of Allah. These are people who have earned misguidance and they were given misguidance. Yet Allah is merciful. He keeps sustaining them. He keeps providing them. He keeps giving them the signs. He keeps giving them reminders. He keeps giving them opportunities. Perhaps one day they will change. This is the mercy of Allah. Yet the fact that they are currently misguided is not because of Allah misguiding them, because these people do not qualify for anything but misguidance. Misguidance is a quality of theirs. You cannot change it. Yes?
Like my brother, long time I will make doubt. But there are, they seem like to say the heart is very close.
Allahu Akbar.
So, what is the solution that I will pray on? I will pray only.
No, you talk to him. And the reason why you talk to him, of course, whenever we say something, we need to have an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. Tayyib, the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ kept giving da'wah to his uncle Abu Talib until his deathbed. Until he was dying, the whole time, giving him da'wah. This hadith or this reality is an indication that da'wah remains. But with the appropriate amount, at the right time, in the right place. Sometimes, if every time you speak about da'wah, the person does not want to hang out with you anymore, period. What you want to do is you want to establish with this person some sort of harmony, grounds, where you could feel comfortable with one another in order for this person to receive the information from you. Otherwise, if a person knows you're going to give him da'wah, like some people, one of the brothers here, he's always working hard on finding non-Muslim Filipinos in particular, because they're all the ones who speak English, and give him da'wah. Some of them, who don't want da'wah, they start running away. You call on the phone, they don't answer. You go to them, they're busy. Why? Because they know that the whole thing is about da'wah, and they don't want any da'wah. So when you see it like this, yeah, just forget about da'wah. Come and let's go have dinner, man. Let's go have some, you know, whatever. McDonald's or something. You take this person 2-3 times. You establish friendship with them, where they can feel, you feel comfortable with them. Then, bam, you spank them. And you tell them why. Say, look, as a Muslim, my concern for you goes beyond this earthly low life that we're living. Anyone else will only be concerned about you now. Do you have enough money? Do you have a car? Do you have a house? Do you have a job? Very good. I want you to be successful after you die. No one will ever tell you this but me. I'm going to be talking to you about things that will help you after you die. And will help you today, but more importantly, after you die. And if I want to give you any gift, there's no gift more valuable than Islam. And the truth that I know that I have. And what you should do as a person, a friend of mine, is accept my gift. When you go home, you may not like it, throw it in the trash. Huh? Or you may like it and put it on your, you know, cabinet. But it's rude to not accept the gift if I give it to you. It's a present from me to you. Right? You take the present, and home you do whatever you want. So don't reject. Listen to what I have to say. Of course, you would have prepared yourself with the evidences, with how to present Islam to a person. From A to Z, you should have background of misconceptions in case he asks you, what about this, what about that? You don't want to get cornered. So, depending on the situation, you try to immune yourself with every piece of information that deals with the subject matter. And you give the person the da'wah, and you tell him, you know, this is the thing I wanted to share with you, and this is the most valuable thing that I can give you. And you know, if you knew that I was on the path to the hellfire and you were truly my friend, you should at least let me know. And if you believe that Jesus is salvation and you know that I don't believe so, you are not truly my friend unless you really inform me and teach me. Otherwise, you know that I'm going to go to the hellfire and you don't care? You don't tell me? See, I don't do the same thing. I will not do the same thing. Something along these lines. Everybody has his own style and his own way of doing this. Allah blesses people differently. Sometimes this doesn't work, what I'm saying. And you need another kind of wording and another kind of sentences with another kind of person. But I'm just giving you headlines. And so something along these lines. And then you tell the person at the end, you know, go ask Allah to guide you. For your brother, take it easy on him. Now you go to the second phase of da'wah, da'wah through character. Talk less and act more. Through your actions, prove to him Islam and the beauty of Islam. Some people, they will never become Muslims. So, and even the Prophet ﷺ was given this information in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide the people you love, but Allah guides whomever Allah wills. Some people they will never become guided. Actually, this is the next verse. وَأَن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَن يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And if you call up to guidance, they will never. Allah says أَبَدًا. They will never ever accept guidance. So I hope that he's not one of them. Your job is to continue trying until one of you dies. And then that's it. If Allah has, and make dua for him. Supplicate to Allah. The Shaykh said, لِأَنَّ الَّذِي يُرْجَى أَنْ يُجِيبَ الدَّاعِيَ لِلْهُدَى مَنْ لَيْسَ عَالِمًا وَأَمَّا هَؤُلَاءَ الَّذِينَ أَبْصَرُوا ثُمَّ عَمُوا وَرَأُوا طَرِيقَ الْحَقِّ حَقًّا فَتَرَكُوهُ وَطَرِيقَ الضَّلَالِ ضَلَالًا فَسَلَكُوهُ وَعَاقَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِإِقْفَالِ الْقُلُوبِ وَالطَّبْعِ عَلَيْهَا فَلَيْسَ فِي هِدَايَتِهِمْ حِيلَةٌ وَلَا طَرِيقٌ. الله أكبر. The Shaykh said, because the person who you expect them to accept your invitation is the person who is ignorant, and then you teach them, you educate them, but not the person who knows already. So the people who already, like someone who doesn't know anything about Islam, he think Islam is some, you know, foreign religion that is not part of the, you know, is not revealed. So when you explain Islam to them, they were ignorant, they will say, this is good. And this happened before with some people. When you tell them, you know, we Muslims believe Jesus is the Messenger of Allah, that he wasn't crucified, and that, you know, such and such, and Allah says, yes. You find many people, he's a Christian still. He says, yes. That, yes, I think so. I never really believed, I never was really convinced about the other things anyways. And so as soon as you finish, you say, okay, khalas, alhamdulillah, I'm ready. This is what I've been looking for. Why? They were ignorant. And you just gave them the information. They said, because then they were given light, so they accepted guidance. This is not the same as the person who already knows. Who knows the teachings, who knows the information, who knows the contradictions in his own religion, yet with that, he refuses. They're not the same. They are not the same because these people have viewed, they have seen the truth, then they were blinded. And they see the path of guidance, and the path of guidance in truth, and they leave it alone. And they see the path of misguidance as misguidance, and they choose it, and they travel upon it. So Allah had punished them with locking their hearts and being spent, so there's no way for their guidance. There's no way for the guidance. The Shaykh says,
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa fi hadhihi al-aya min al-takhwif liman taraka al-haqqa ba'da 'ilmihi an yuhala baynahum wa baynah wa la yatamakkan minhu ba'da dhalik ma huwa a'zamu murhib wa zajirun 'an dhalik. Sit anywhere you like, sir. The Shaykh said, in this verse, there is the warning, severe warning to the person, even us now, Muslims. The person who sees the truth, who knows the truth, and then does not apply it and turns away from it. Or somebody reminds you, Akhi, this thing is un-Islamic, this thing you're doing is haram, you need to leave this alone, you need to whatever thing. After the person knows it, and they do not apply it, in this verse the Shaykh, there's a major threat that the person will be prevented from ever following it in the future. The person, likewise, this is at levels. With the kafir, the whole truth is given to them. If they reject it, Allah may prevent them from ever accepting it in the future because of the initial rejection. Likewise as a Muslim, when you are informed about the truth from Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the ruling in Islam, and then you postpone or delay or you ignore, Allah might punish you with the situation that you will eventually, even if you will never do it. Because he came to you in the beginning and he said, oh whatever, you didn't care. So likewise, you didn't care, then this is what you get in return. So you will also be prevented from, there will be a barrier between you and that thing. And yani, where the person will not be able to do it. And this is a major warning for us to be careful of having this particular quality. Now I'm not saying that we will not fall into sins. This is not the same as falling into sins. You may know something is wrong. You may know something's wrong, but you still wind up falling into the sin out of weakness. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who is able, capable, has strength. He doesn't have it's not an issue of sin. It's not an issue of sin, it's an issue of choice. Not that I fell into it out of sin, rather that's something that I'm doing willingly. They're not the same. You know what I'm saying? They're not the same, the one who struggles with himself and falls into sin. Allah is merciful to this individual who regrets it and he does the things of repentance. Allah will accept his repentance. But the person who deliberately, without caring, knows the truth and turns away from it, this is the one where this verse is applicable to. You understand the difference between falling into the sin out of the violation out of weakness versus just a person not caring. ثم أخبر تعالى عن سعة مغفرته ورحمته وأنه يغفر الذنوب ويتوب الله على من يتوب فيتغمده برحمته ويشمله بإحسانه. Then Allah Azza wa Jal informed us about the vastness of His forgiveness. This is very important, ya akhwan, because we need to understand the names and attributes of Allah. That Allah is powerful and He takes His revenge, yet Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. But for either one, you have to do the things that will bring about that quality. If you bring the anger of Allah, then Allah is strengthful, Allah is powerful. And if you bring about the things that will make Allah forgive you and are merciful, then Allah is the merciful. and most forgiving. Of course, and Allah says, رحمتي غلبت غضبي, أو كما جاء في الحديث القدسي. That Allah told us that my mercy encompasses my anger. That overpowers. It's stronger. So the mercy of Allah is more closer to us than the punishment of Allah. And this is from the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, if Allah willed to be just, and everybody would be given equally what they wanted, we would be in trouble. Hey. So anyways, Allah tells us about the vastness of His forgiveness and His mercy. And that Allah forgives the sins. And Allah repents upon whomever repents to Allah. Allah will accept the repentance to whomever repents to Allah. And Allah will encompass this person with His mercy. And He will include him in His goodness. يعني Allah will bestow His goodness upon him. وَأَنَّهُ لَوْ أَخَذَ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى مَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ لَعَدَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And if Allah was to punish the people, or to according to the sins that they have put forth, then Allah would have hastened the punishment for us. Hey, because look at what the people are doing upon earth. Just take go on a spaceship and go up and watch the earth. If you are able to go around the globe, the whole earth, and see what the people are doing upon earth, from corruption and from evil and from disbelief and from every evil thing that you can think of, all over the world, except Allahu musta'an, a few masajid on earth where the people worship in Allah. Otherwise, predominantly, there's nothing but corruption and evil. If Allah was to treat the humans the way they deserve, the whole thing would be gone. But Allah forgives, pardons, postpones, gives a chance for the people to change. Just sometimes it takes a person all his life before he becomes Muslim. Like, remember Brother Ali, the father of Abdullah, the one that passed away?
Yes.
Nah. Rahimahullah, look at the mercy of Allah. This person hated Islam all his life. And he died, he entered Islam, what, 4 days before he died? Old man. He entered Islam, a few days later we were burying him in the graveyard. That's from the mercy of Allah. If Allah wanted to treat this person, يعني all these years disbelieving in him, if Allah wanted to treat him equally, ma'asalam. But the mercy of Allah, Allah guided him, then Allah took his soul away. This is a mercy from Allah. And Allah is more merciful to us than our mothers, but we don't understand. But we have to bring about the things that bring mercy. So people do everything that will bring the anger of Allah, then they ask for mercy. This is ignorance. You want the mercy of Allah? Do the things that will bring mercy. But you do the things that bring anger, then you ask for mercy. It doesn't make any sense. Hey. وَلَكِنَّهُ تَعَالَى حَلِيمٌ لَا يُعَجِّي بِالْعُقُوبَ بَجُمْهِلْ وَلَا يُهْمِلْ. But Allah is kind, and He does not hasten the punishment. Rather, He gives them the time, but He does not forget. Allah allows him, but He does not leave them alone completely. وَالذُنُوبُ لَابُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوعِ أَثَارِهَا. And sins, it's inevitable that the traces of the sins will take place. وَأَنْتَ أَخَّرَ عَنْهَا مُدَّةً طَوِيلَةً. Even if it comes after a long time. يعني the consequences of the sins will come about. It may be immediately, it may take a long time. Either way, it's going to happen. This is why Allah says, بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. أي لهم موعد يجازون فيه بأعمالهم لا بد لهم منه ولا مندوحة لهم عنه ولا ملجأ ولا محيد عنه. Rather, they will have an appointment. They may get by today, but there's an appointment that they cannot bypass. And there's an appointment that they cannot miss, where they will be judged for their actions. And it is inevitable. There's no escape from it. There's no absence from it. There's no turning away from it. وهذه سنته في الأولين والآخرين. وهذه سنته في الأولين والآخرين. This is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal in the early generations and in the latter ones. In the early people and in the latter ones, يعني us and whoever will come after us. ألا يعاجلهم بالعقاب بل يستدعيهم إلى التوبة والإنابة فإن تابوا أنابوا غفر لهم ورحمهم. That Allah Azza wa Jal, His way with the previous people and the current ones and the ones that will come in the future is that Allah does not hasten the punishment for them. Rather, Allah will invite them into repentance and turning back to Him. So if they do accept accept and they repent, then Allah will repent upon them and He will forgive him their sins and He will have mercy on him and He will remove the punishment. فَإِنْ إِسْتَغْفَرُوا وَإِلَّا فَإِنْ إِسْتَمَرُوا عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ وَعِنَادِهِمْ وَجَاءَ الْوَقْتُ الَّذِي جَعَلَهُ مَوْعِدًا لَهُمْ أَنْزَلَ بِهِمْ بَأْسَهُ. Otherwise, if they remain upon their oppression and their stubbornness, and the time has come, the appointed time has come, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring about His punishment to them. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَى أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا أي بظلمهم لا بظلم منا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا أي وقتا مقدرا لا يتقدمون عنه ولا يتأخرون. That's what Allah says. And these villages, we have destroyed them after they oppressed. And the Shaykh said, meaning because of their oppression, not that Allah oppressed them. وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا, and we made an appointed time for their destruction that they cannot hasten it and bring it earlier, and they cannot postpone it till later. We will stop inshallah at this particular point. We have made it up to verse 60, alhamdulillah, and we still have 50 verses in the surah Al-Kahf, which the sunnah is to recite it every Friday, whether during the night, meaning from Thursday night according to the non-Muslims, from Thursday night, last night from Maghrib. From Maghrib, Thursday, this is considered Friday night. Until Fajr, now we are Friday day. Until Maghrib, it becomes Saturday night. Although to the people, it's Friday night. In Islam, the night comes before the day. So the Sunnah is to read it from Friday night all the way to Friday the day. From Maghrib of Thursday till Maghrib of Friday. It is only befitting that we understand what we read every Friday, particularly those who read it in Arabic. So hopefully you've been taking notes and familiarizing yourself with the wording, so you could in the future when you read it say, yeah, I remember we discussed this verse and this is what it's talking about. And because the whole idea about the Quran is, besides getting the reward of reading and reciting, is to actually understand and implement and take the reminder from it. This is what among the objectives of the revelation and that Allah Azza wa Jalla, this Quran that Allah has sent upon us. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
يعني شيخ reading سورة الباب in the whole Friday.
Yes.
Starting the Friday.
From Thursday night to you have the whole day. 24 hours. نعم. It's a sunnah. It's not an obligation. Here, what is intended by sunnah as a voluntary. Otherwise, sometimes the sunnah can mean an obligation. Not every time we say sunnah, we mean voluntary. Sometimes the sunnah is an obligation. Like praying dhuhr 4 rak'ahs, this is not mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the sunnah. That is an obligation. Sometimes we intend by sunnah according to the fuqaha, the jurisprudence, yani scholars, that it is a voluntary act. No. Allahu a'lam.